So our next speaker is Lisa Jamila Worth. She's a parent here at Youth Initiative, and she's a sociologist at heart, and loves people, even though she's a full-blown introvert. An astrologer once told Lisa that he has never seen the aspect of community pop up in so many areas of a birth chart as in hers. And to give you an idea of who she is, here's a quote from her email. Love is the very foundation, beauty, and fulfillment of life. If we dive deep enough into ourselves, we will find that the one thread of universal love ties all beings together. As this awareness dawns within us, peace alone will reign. Lisa's pulling her courage together tonight to share a story about her grandmother's table. So let's pull together and bring on up Lisa Jamila Worth. Come on up, Lisa.
Ooh, I'm nervous. Thanks. I want to tell you a story tonight that ties together food, community, singing, religion, and furniture. And it's the story of my grandmother's table. Let's go back to the early 1970s. I'm about 6 years old, and I've stayed overnight at my grandparents' for the weekend. Now, my grandparents and many of my family members belong to a small Christian religion they call the Truth. And my grandparents hold the Sunday meetings at their home, which means that on Saturday night, the whole house has to be cleaned, all the floors vacuumed, and we took a lot of metal folding chairs out of the closet and set them all around the living room in a circle. On Sunday morning, a little bit before 10 o'clock, people start to arrive and they put their coats on my grandparents' bed and come and find a spot to sit in the living room. Now, before meeting started, my grandma has put a big chicken or a roast in a roasting pan in the oven and put it on low. Meeting goes long with people standing up to testify or tell what they've been reading about in their Bibles and what it means to them. And the hymns are a welcome break from all of the testimonies. Meeting goes long, and my legs start to ache sitting on the metal folding chair, and that meat in the oven starts to smell really good. My grandfather has prepared a plate with a piece of bread and a glass of grape juice covered with a napkin. So he takes a little piece of the bread and tucks it in his mouth and takes a little sip of the grape juice, wipes the rim of the glass with the napkin and passes it. And I very carefully pass the plate from my left to my right. The bread smells so good and the grape juice smells so good. My tummy rumbles. Finally, meeting is over, and people stand up and start to visit and gather their kids and their coats and head to their own homes, all except the lucky ones. We're the lucky ones because we're invited to my grandma's for Sunday dinner. And my grandma was a farm woman who raised seven kids, and she knew how to make a Sunday dinner. The slow-roasted meat, the creamy mashed potatoes and gravy, the carrots, the green beans, the corn, the rolls and butter, the pickles. But that's not really what I want to tell you about tonight. What I want to tell you about is my grandma's table. It was wooden and long and rectangular, and in each corner it had a leg that was carved on a lathe and was very curvy. And at the bottom of the table, the runner was also really swooped and curvy and smooth, and I loved to sit at that table and run my feet along those curvy runners. My grandpa had made lots of boards for the table that helped it extend to various lengths, and that table could extend far. I've seen over 20 people sitting at the table. Each one of those boards had a little piece of white tape on it, and my grandmother's tiny cursive handwriting explaining which boards to use depending on how many people would sit at the table that day. Sometimes my grandparents would take us along to preps, and preps were the weekend before the big conventions in the fall on an old farm. At the preps, the women and girls would be gathering all of the sheets and washing them in old wringer washers down in the basement and hanging them out on the lines to dry. and sweeping all the cobwebs and old flies and dust out of the mattresses which lined the haylofts and made up the women's and the men's dormitories. And the men and the boys would be setting out hundreds of folding chairs in the big barn and pounding in the tent stakes for the big food tent. Convention was like camping on a big old farm with no running water, with outhouses for toilets, and preaching all morning, all afternoon, and all evening for 4 days. And for me, it was sitting still, taking notes so I could try to pay attention to what was being spoken, and sucking on Jolly Ranchers and Lifesavers, being grateful to be able to stand up and sing. And I have to say that over 100 people singing in harmony in a big barn is really something to behold. But my favorite part of convention was the big meal tent with rows and rows of tables and benches, grass and dirt underfoot, and coming in the cold morning, standing in long rows at those tables and singing a meal blessing together, and then sitting down to steaming hot bowls of oatmeal, hard-boiled eggs and fruit, and passing to those nearest you, family style. Or in the evening after the last preaching, standing in line in the chilly fall air, waiting for that last cup of steaming hot cocoa and a cookie before bed, and always burning your mouth on the hot chocolate because you just couldn't wait. It smelled so good. That didn't really spark a big interest in religion for me, but it really sparked a big interest in community and fellowship and singing and community meals for me, which has been a thread that's continued through my life. So in my early 30s, my grandparents have died, and my dad had died earlier, so my aunts and uncles invited my sister and I to come and pick out something to remember our grandparents by. And what I chose was my grandmother's table. So it was my honor and my privilege to be able to continue my grandma's pattern of extending her table and welcoming people. So I had lots of really wonderful meals at that table with my family and friends, and for Thanksgiving, my friends would bring their parents and their siblings to come and join at the table too. And since lots of my friends were musicians, the whole tradition of singing and eating together continued to warm my life. In my mid-30s, I moved to community homestead, and I took my table with me, of course. And at community homestead, we ate together all at Wednesday lunches and at Friday evenings, and we always stood in a circle and sang seasonal songs and held hands just to start our meal. And in my home where I lived, we continued to have many big meals at that community table. And one of the most memorable times for me was when a group of Amish people with kids with Down syndrome came up to our community to visit and see how we incorporated people into our work. And we stretched the table as far as it would go and added another one at the end of it to accommodate all of the guests. When I moved to Switzerland in 2013, I left my table at Community Homestead in a farm community where it belongs, but the spirit of the table has always stayed with me. And now I really enjoy being at Youth Initiative High School, standing in the hallway for the long tables and the meal blessings. And so I really wanted to invite you all to sing a meal blessing with me tonight. So I'm just going to sing a line, and I'm going to ask you to repeat, please. I hope my voice will manage this. Sisters, may you never hunger. Sisters, may you never hunger. Brothers, may you never thirst. Brothers, may you never thirst. May your deepest needs be met. May your deepest needs be met by the love of friends here gathered. By the love of friends here gathered, and the richness of the earth, and the richness of the earth. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa. such a wonderful blessing song.